Blog Talk Radio.
February 3rd, 2015 for Sean Daly on TV. And we're live from Las Vegas here on Blog Talk Radio. We thank everybody who's joining us. Of course, we thank everybody who's joining us live. And of course, we thank everybody who's joining us on the podcast and the archives. Thank you all very much indeed. And we're here to talk TV here. And before we get into that, we do have some breaking news to report on. Yes. Yes. It's being reported all across. I'm watching CNN. Jordan hangs terrorists in retaliation for what happened today when the ISIL terrorists burned alive a soldier from the Jordanian army. So Jordan has retaliated against ISIL by hanging the terrorists in retaliation for what happened to one of their soldiers earlier in the day. So it's a ongoing and ratcheting up. They'll be talking about this all night, especially CNN. I said this before. I said, everybody like, oh, Fox News and MSNBC and all that. The channel with the most range, most reach is around the world is CNN. Jeff Zucker, I don't care what he does to it, but it still has the biggest reach of any cable network around is CNN. So good for them for covering the story. It's only going to intensify now as the pressure's on. Jordan's going to be out for blood now for revenge. Who knows? There are sleeper cells in Jordan from ISIL. I imagine there would be. And also Japan's looking to get revenge on them as well for what happened to their journalists as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when when Japan as well as the Japanese decide what they're going to do in this ongoing threat of ISIL. So anyway, that's the breaking news. Jordan has hanged the terrorists in retaliation of the ISIL terrorists in retaliation for what happened to their soldier and being burned alive in the cage earlier in the day. So that's the breaking news. So let's move over to the topic at hand. Which is TV here. I talk TV here. I'm Sean Daly, Sean O'Mac. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. I'm the guy that started the Save Jericho campaign did pretty damn well with it. Also was a social media ambassador for CBS's Under the Dome, a great series that's coming to its third season. I believe third season will be its last season. If you remember when Under the Dome started, when I went to Wilmington, North Carolina for the premiere and I came back and all this stuff, I was told there on the set that they believe who they are, I don't know, the powers that be on the show, they believe they have enough material for three seasons. So guess what? Going to the third season, will this be it for Under the Dome? I heard rumblings of maybe a spinoff show about outside the dome, the people get cut off from the dome and all this stuff. So we'll see what happens. But also, the CW has gotten into the act here. They may want to tap into this, this fishbowl type series. Block them off from all the outside world and see how they survive. It struck a chord. People loved Under the Dome. I love Under the Dome. Anyway, the CW has ordered a pilot called Corden from Julie Plec of Vampire Diaries fame. Anyway. Vampire Diaries Fantasy. See, the CW has picked up a show called Corden. C-O-R-D-O-N. Corden revolves around an epidemic that breaks out in Atlanta leaving some people stuck on the outside of a large city quarantine. It's based on a Belgian series. David Nutter, who'll executive produce the show with Plek as well. So it should be a fantastic series. Those who want to keep the Under the Dome fandom going and all this stuff, I mean, it should be fantastic. So again, watch for Corden. Well, let's hope it just became a greenlight as a pilot. We'll see if it gets ordered to a series. I hope it will. I think it will be. It's going to be fantastic, I think. So we'll see what happens with Corden. And what else? The Blacklist. What do you think of the Blacklist after the Super Bowl? I thought it was pretty good with Braxton, Luther Braxton, and Ron Perlman in there. Everybody said, oh, why him? We got sick of seeing him as Clay on Sons of Anarchy. No, we did not get sick of him. At least I did not. That man could peel an orange and still be dramatic doing it. I mean, Ron Perlman's a great actor. Probably one of the greatest actors of our time is Ron Perlman. So anyway, he did this whole thing with the cat and mouse game in this prison and all that stuff. They're all inside. You got Diego Clayton-Hoff's character being hung in his cell. Now they're promising. They're promising that somebody's going to die in the second part on Thursday. They did Sunday because Super Bowl Sunday, and also they did hope to promote the show's moving to. The show's moving to Thursday. I thought the whole thing was fantastic. Yeah, wrestler and all that. Who's going to die, you think? I do not know. It's just, you think, oh, nothing they can do can surprise me. Oh, really? They just did. Just everything they've done is just incredible on the show. Of course, Aram doesn't want anything to have, Samar's dangling by, she choked her out and everything else, almost killed her, everything else. And David Strathairn shows up as the director. Is this going to be a new faction? Maybe. I think so. How about what's her name showing up from CSI Miami? She showed up on there. Interesting to see her. Janet Maloney. Kate Goodson. She was on CSI Miami, wasn't she? Yeah, she was on CSI. Yeah. Wasn't she? No. Well, maybe I got her mixed up with somebody else. She looks like somebody just like, what's her name from, she does look like, I don't know, CSI. May I got that wrong. Let me see. Let's look for IMDb. She was in The Leftovers, which I love. Maybe not. I thought she was on CSI Miami. I guess. No, she was on The West Wing. May I got her mixed up with the other blonde on CSI Miami. Yeah, she was Diana Moss. I know who that was. I got a friend here listening to this. She was Diana Moss. I know. She's on Brotherhood as well. But somebody had her mixed up with somebody on CSI Miami. My fault. But I thought the whole episode was fantastic. Can't wait to see what the finale on Thursday will be as they use the Blacklist to launch Allegiance. Now, I really like how they promote these new shows, but NBC, their promo for Allegiance looks just like the promos I've seen for the Americans. Trying to get that all, these two shows confused as can be. Anyway, let's go back to the Blacklist. The Blacklist ratings on Super Bowl Sunday after the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, of course, had 114 million viewers, the biggest TV viewing audience in television history. Beat MASH and Dallas, Who Shot JR. 25.72 million viewers watched that episode of the Blacklist. So good for them. It's a good series. It gets a little procedural at times. I thought it was very good, episode to help push the move to Thursday and also to hopefully use that Thursday lineup to promote the move to Thursday nights in front of Allegiance. So we'll see about that. Anyway, The Americans premiered this week as well. Pretty good premiere. I mean, the Jennings are still, how much do you want to bring the Page into this? Philip wants nothing to do with it. Elizabeth is playing cat and mouse with the new director. It's what's his name? Frank Langella. So he's in it. He's Stan trying to get back with his, trying some relationship with his wife and all that. Sandy. That was pretty interesting to see. How about Elizabeth beating the living hell out of John Boy there, of Gad. She beat the hell out of him. I thought for sure, so far she wasn't labeled. They're getting closer and closer to one of these regulars on the show finding out that the Jennings are really KGB and everything else. Arcady's in it. Everybody we love on the show was back, except for Margot Martindale's character. But obviously she's been replaced by Gabriel Flancangelo, who seems to know, who knows Elizabeth's mother. She told Philip that her mom's dying and all that. I thought it was a pretty good episode of The Americans this week on the season premiere of The Americans. So what else am I doing here on TV? Well, Sleepy Hollow. I thought Sleepy Hollow's episode was pretty good as well, Spellcaster. And I hope the ratings get better. The ratings, the show's struggling in the ratings. I was told, unless the series catches fire, after this season. So we'll see about that. But at least that's what I've been told anyway. So the whole thing was pretty, we didn't see Jenny at all. We saw Frank, and he's in cahoots now with Henry. And how would Henry get rid of all those drug dealing kids? They're pestering the manager and her son earlier in the episode. He just broke their necks, slapped the one through the side window of a car. Excellent. Katrina, I guess her powers are coming back, but she's got a nosebleed now. What's going on with her? I don't know. I thought the Solomon Kent character was pretty good on this week's Sleepy Hollow. So what do they need to do? Does the show seem broke to you? You can call in if you want, 646-915-9925. Does Sleepy Hollow seem broke? I mean, what do you think? Everybody's saying between doom and gloom about the show. I think they've done an excellent job this season. Yeah, all second seasons of shows have a little creative lull because they did the original stories and where do we go now? Where can we extend this and string this thing out longer? So we'll see what happens with Sleepy Hollow. From Variety, I'll skip around doing the reviews of these shows as I go through. It's also some news from Variety. The CW has ordered a series a pilot from Mark Cherry, and this is going to be interesting. And Neil Baer, of course, from Under the Dome, called Cheerleader Death Squad pilot. The CW has greenlit its fourth pilot of the cycle with some big names behind the scenes. Cheerleader Death Squad comes from Desperate Housewives and Law and Order Special Victims Unit producers Mark Cherry and Neil Baer, Dan Truly and Sabrina Wynn. Also, he does the Mistresses show, Mark Cherry does on, Devious Maids. There you go, Susan Lucci over on what the hell it's called. On Lifetime, there you go. Of course, Baer's Under the Dome, SVU, ER. So you can watch that. Hell, that name just knocks it out for me. Sorry. Well, maybe I'll change my mind. So we'll see. The USA Network has picked up Colony, which is another one I'm looking forward to. High Reporter reports this. Put the link into the put the link in the chat room here if it works. There it goes. It's not coming up. Keep reading. There we go. Keep reading. There you go. USA Network orders Colony, which is already pictured. I must have already filmed this thing. They filmed the pilot to go to series. But again, this is a series, which should be fantastic. Josh Holloway, of course, from Lost and Intelligence from a couple years ago, last year. And Sarah Wayne Callies from The Walking Dead are going to star in this new Carlton Coos drama. Of course, he's the one, he's a genius guy. He's buying the Strain is a big one now. I believe so. USA Network continues to make, this is from Leslie Goldberg of The Hollywood Reporter. USA Network on Tuesday handed out a series pickup to Carlton Coos' drama Colony. Colony, created by Carlton Coos and Hercules, Ryan Condal, is a naturalistic drama. My family is torn by opposing forces and makes difficult decisions as its members balance staying together with surviving the struggle of the human race. Set in the near future, the story takes place in Los Angeles, which exists in a state of occupation by a force of outside intruders. Some people choose to collaborate with the authorities and benefit from the new order, while others rebel and suffer the consequences. So, wow. Josh Holloway and Callies will play husband and wife. Her role will be Katie Bowman, the mother of three who struggles daily to keep her family safe and united in occupied Los Angeles. And Will, Josh Holloway's character, is her husband, is forced to collaborate with the colonial government. They don't say foreign what? Foreign outside sources from Martians, or are they something? I don't know. Is Mexico come up and take L.A.? Does Canada come up? It doesn't really say what happens. So put this link in the chat room. But on the surface, it looks pretty good, I think, right? I'm going to put that link in the chat room there. There you go. So pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. Let's see, what else? Let's move up here. Let's get rid of that one. Close that, close that. Yeah, I still have the problem with anyway, let's move along. Connelly's been picked up. Also, the Twitter, Nielsen Twitter ratings have been released. Top 10 Twitter ratings for the week. And let's see if they do come up. Nielsen, there we go. From January 26th to February 1st. Number one is on the networks. It's all of them. What is it, network? Yeah, no, it's the Twitter top 10 TV series and specials. Number one is NFL Honors. Number two is Scandal. Three is The Bachelor. Fourth is Grey's Anatomy. 139,000 tweets. 2.6 million unique audience. And impressions on Twitter is Grey's Anatomy, 8.6 million. How to Get Away with Murder, boom, back up. Fifth, 169,000 tweets. How's that be? 2.1 million in the unique audience. There you go. And 11,173,000 impressions. So that unique audience is what separates Grey's Anatomy from How to Get Away with Murder. Number six is The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Seventh is Pretty Little Liars. Eighth is WWE Raw. Ninth is Empire. And 10th is Parks and Recreation. I thought Empire is fantastic. I'm getting more and more into the show. Cookie and all them jacking for control of the. I don't think either one of these sons are worthy of Lucius Lyon's Empire. I think if he's gonna die, he should sign up in voting shares, much like Chuck Ewing did on Dallas. Voting shares. Give Cookie some shares as well. Give each of the sons some shares. Not control interest. They have to vote on who would take control of Empire when Lucius becomes unable to run the company, basically. Lucius is on a rampage about Hakeem and his new CD. Get in the studio. Then he'll put him on tour and everything else. Cookie interrupts about her lack of office space. Is next to the accountant's office. Lucius says to get Donkey Kong out of his office to Cookie about Porsche. Anika and Cookie clash over Cookie. Hakeem and Tiana make out at Lucius's house. Jamel, how about that? What's her name? Naomi Campbell's character, like a mommy type character for Jamal. For Hakeem, I mean, it's amazing. Cookie goes to Titans. Titans' mom he's a rap star about Lucius and having Lucius' lawyers help Titan with the legal problems he's having. Titus, the detectives go to see Lucius about where he was when Bunky was killed. Andre covers for him by saying they were watching the Mayweather fight at his house. So good, Andre. Should give him a leg up on the brothers for taking control of the Empire. They covered for his father, gave him an alibi, basically. What else? Anika and Lucius are trying to land a new client, and they drive by shooting at the diner. Pretty cool scene there. See the whole diner getting shot up. Lucius and Cookie. Titan discuss Titan and the violence. Jamal gives Lucius his money for the gig and everything else. I thought it was a great episode of Empire on last week on Fox. Excellent series, excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm hooked on that show, so good for them. What else? Let's move along here. Inside Edition hires the first transgender correspondent. According to The Wrap. There we go. Zoe Tour, formerly known as Chopper Bob, will join as a special correspondent during February. Zoe Tour has joined Inside Edition as the first transgender television reporter during February. We are thrilled to have Zoe join Inside Edition as special correspondent and make some TV history. And just so happened to be during the month of February, during sweeps period. Very gratuitous reach for ratings and buzziness on Twitter and Facebook on by doing this little stunt during sweeps period. Have you no shame, Inside Edition? Formerly known as Chopper Bob, Tour made a name for herself as a helicopter pilot who covered the infamous O.J. Simpson police pursuit in 1994 and L.A. riots in 1992. Tour will discuss her transformation on Tuesday's show and will pilot her first helicopter since the gender reassignment surgery on Wednesday. Blah, blah, blah. What in the world? That's just making her topic on TV. And, who cares about her privacy? You know, she's here dealing with a sex, being a different sex. We'll just milk it for the rating. It's February. Who cares? Amazing. What else? Lindsay Lohan, according to the Wrap, is suing Fox News for allegedly smearing her reputation. Lindsay Lohan, you have to have a reputation left to be smeared, to cry out loud. Actress, tabloid fixture Lindsay Lohan says that Fox News Channel has besmirched her reputation. Good grief. Is this a comic? Is this a parody? No. According to this is from The Wrap. And she's suing to restore her good name. You better sue every newspaper, tabloid, journalist, reporter, anybody who's read on Twitter or Facebook then to get your reputation back. Liz and Dick star Lohan and her mother, Dina Lohan, have filed a lawsuit against the news channel and one of its hosts, Sean Hannity, saying that the two were smeared on Hannity. You better sue everybody who's read the articles, who's read all the news about you. You better sue everybody who's done it. You better sue the judge. She's the one that sends you all this time and everything else. But let's move along. Warren Sapp, show me anything about Warren Sapp being terminated by NFL Network. Good move from NFL. Warren Sapp, what the hell are you thinking? You jeopardize your whole career, all your money, everything else for a piece of ass, basically. That's what you did. Warren Sapp fired from NFL Network for allegedly soliciting a prostitute. Alex Steadman wrote this for Variety. Update, Warren Sapp, Hall of Fame defensive lineman and commentator for the NFL Network, has been terminated from the sports channel after he allegedly solicited a prostitute and was arrested Monday morning in Phoenix. Warren Sapp's contract has been terminated, and he no longer works for NFL Network, say statement from the NFL Network. Earlier on Monday, the network said Sapp had been suspended indefinitely without pay, pending the outcome of an ongoing police investigation. Blah, blah, blah. Sapp had been arrested. He was transferred to Maricopa County Jail. I wonder if our payout is going to put him in pink underwear. Booked on charges of soliciting prostitution and two counts of assault, both misdemeanor offenses. Yay. Sapp got into an argument with two women at a Phoenix downtown Phoenix hotel over money, and the fight turned physical. And the two women sustained minor injuries. Of course, they told the police, and there you go, they got arrested. It's amazing, Warren Sapp. What in the hell? You're thinking of the wrong head, Warren Sapp. The wrong head. What else? Let's see. Fortitude. Fortitude is excellent. Thank you for asking, Barry. I love Fortitude. It's on Pivot every Thursday. It's on Pivot. Excellent cast. Let me bring the AMDB up. Fortitude. IMDb. Yes, there you go. I thought it was excellent. Richard Dormer stars as the sheriff, Dan Anderson, trying to investigate a murder. And a scene happened at the beginning of the premiere between Henry and Dan. Henry thought he was shooting at something. He shot it. He thought it was an animal, but I don't know. Anderson shoots something, and he was just so happened that Henry was there, and he let him think, Henry believe he did it, and it's really the sheriff killed this person, his body. They found his body there. I don't know. And then we saw the big acclaimed cast, and Christopher Eccleston's character died in the first episode. Big murder. Who killed him? And that's going to drag on to be the whole story of the season, I think. But the whole show, Frank Sutter is getting on with Jules and everything else in a freezing cold weather here, having sex in the barn, basically, or a garage or something. And we see Stanley Tucci's character shows up, DCI Morton brought in to investigate this. Luke Treadway's character, Vincent Rattray, we believe he hasn't done it. He just happened to be there because he is working for this group that Stoddard's in charge of. He's a professor. He was there as basically an intern, I believe. It's wrong place at the wrong time. The whole thing was absolutely fantastic. We saw a great doctor, kind of dry, Dr. Allardyce, and she's looking at this kid left. Frank was getting some ass from Jules. Jules? I think it was Jules. Yeah. That's his wife or girlfriend, the mother of his child. It's Veronica's character, Elena. She's busy bumping around with her in the shed while the son wakes up. It's in the snow. We believe he got frostbite or some kind of disease. He goes out. The son wakes up. His dad's at home. He hops out the window, freezing cold weather in his bare feet. He gets even more sick. The husband's his dad's in the barn getting it on with the girl there, was Elena. But great episode, great episode, two-hour premiere of Fortitude. I do have some one clip, and let me find this. I don't think it made it here. Let's see here. Let's see, Fortitude. I mean, it's Pivot's, no. Well, it didn't make it, but it's on Pivot. You get it on DirecTV. I have it on my DirecTV. I thought it was an excellent episode here we go. I do have it. Somebody's in down at the bottom. I had it alphabetical, I thought. Well, here's a clip from the first episode of Fortitude on Pivot.
I was a lawyer who married a policeman, then chose a life of crime in a town where there's none. The one place on earth we're guaranteed a quiet life. Our honeymoon was a night of thrills and magic, and that night we saw the most spectacular aurora borealis. And now we're building a hotel hewn into the glacier itself. Excavation scheduled to begin in 2 weeks' time. Thank you, and enjoy.
Sheriff Anderson for you.
Governor,
this is a bloodbath.
What?
Keep all the delegates in the building.
A clip from the first episode of Fortitude on Pivot. Great episode, Graves. Hope you watch it. We'll see how this mystery. The scenery up there is incredible. There's some videos up there on YouTube with the cast talking about how it was filming in this glacier in Iceland. Michael Gambon and Christopher Eccleston and Stanley Tucci. They say it's a surreal experience being up there filming this. Somebody said the high def. It's not really high def. It's standard definition. I think they filmed it in. I don't see anything high def about it. It's standard definition. It's just main pivots, just standard definition, not high def. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, it's still very good. Very good episode. So what about The 100? Yes, The 100. 100 came roaring back. Another episode. And I thought it was great. And Survival of the Fittest, Clark and Lexa team up against this gorilla, King Kong, I like to call it. Bellamy and Lincoln work together to get into Mount Weather and hopefully figure a way to get rescue their people. Murphy and Jaha go off looking for Jaha's son's grave. And Murphy says, here's the reason why he's dead. Your son's dead because he was killed for what he did. And it's amazing. And Indra all of a sudden, liked Octavia. Octavia got the hell beat out of her by one of the one of the grounders. And Indra said, you know, you could defend yourself. You just did this to make a, you know, I don't know, to basically boost the guy's ego or whatever it was. So she goes, I mean, I'll make you my number one, my protege. So she'll train Octavia to be a warrior, a grounder warrior better or something like that. She goes, you got a don't quit attitude or something like that. Excellent. Elsa and Alexa or Clark comes says, yeah, I have a new way to save our people from Mount Weather. We got to defeat them from within. Somehow get a message to those inside using Bellamy to get to the people inside to revolt from the inside and get out. We saw Lincoln getting a shot again. He's in Mount Weather. Bellamy's looking at him like, oh, my God, no, they're going to go through this again. So he's getting those shots again. It's turned back into a Reaper, basically. So all that went on. I thought it was a great episode of The 100. Let's see how the ratings did for The 100. It's a great saga. That's why I'm hoping that The 100 will go in and then, Corden will go in and be paired up somehow with The 100. Maybe not. I'm just guessing. Let me see. Let me find the ratings here for The 100. I can't find it right now. Sean, how's 12 Monkeys doing? I'll get to 12 Monkeys in a moment. 12 Monkeys, I think, is doing very good. Let me look for the ratings real quick for the on the CW. I can watch Jane the Virgin. There's only really so much I can watch, really. I'm trying to watch as much as I can, but it's impossible to watch all these shows. It's impossible. So much TV on now. I try to watch what I can, what I like anyway. I try to watch what I like, and you sound a little hoarse. I'm still getting over my cold. I had a cold. I'm still struggling to get over it, I think I'm doing fine with it. And let me find The 100. And let's see. How to Get Away with Murder. There's only so much I can watch. I said it before. There's only so much I can watch. Let me back this up. Wednesday. How come I can't? There we go. Wednesday's ratings for The 100, 1.53 million viewers. In back of Arrow, 2.91 million viewers. The 100's already been renewed. People say, how come it's not doing better? Well, it's up against Empire, which is the hottest show on TV right now, network TV, got to say. 11.34 million viewers in the overnights. And the 18 to 49 through the roof for Empire, 4.3 and a 12 share, which is huge for this day and age. And doing also, and then you get Criminal Minds on there, and you got Modern Family, Law and Order SVU, and you got The 100. So you know, between Empire, Criminal Minds, there's 22 million viewers tied up right there. So The 100, I think, does real well with the DVR numbers, and so it's already been renewed. So I'm comfortable with The 100. Coming back. Excellent. All the news, they paired up with Corden next season, right? So there you go. Let's move along here. 12 Monkeys. Yeah, 12 Monkeys on Friday, 903,000 viewers. It's doing better than Helix, that's for sure. Hope Sci-Fi shows some comments in this show. Either move it to a different night or just hang with it and renew it and put it paired up with something else. I the whole thing, came back to Haiti with Cassie there in 2014, a year before he even met her. After he met her, but didn't want to mess up her timeline. So she said, don't even look at me. Everybody said, don't look. So he broke his, really went on his way to not. It's for Cassie not to see him. So I thought the whole thing is good. So if you're looking for a good show, a great time travel series, 12 Monkeys is very good. You only have to be a fan of the movie. To be honest with you, I never watched the movie. I'm a fan of the series. I thought the whole thing was very good. Secondary story coming up this week's episode, Ramsey and that girl and their group outside the center. So I think it's going to be a clash. They're going to try and get into the center, I think. So we'll see what happens with that. But I thought Aaron Stanford does a great job as Cole. I thought the whole thing, whole series, Amanda Shaw does great as Cassandra. The whole thing is excellent. And Jones, I even like the character Jones. You know, they goof up sometimes and call the wrong era, wrong country. Some there, North Korea that one night, one episode last week. I don't like Aaron. Aaron's a little whiny, a little twerp. Maybe they'll kill him off. I don't know. And so something's going on with Ramsey and that girl and this other faction outside the center. They keep sending Cole into the past. So we'll see what happens with that. With the Pallid Man, that's Tom Noonan's character. He does real well. I mean, he was on Hell on Wheels, wasn't he? Yes, he was on Hell on Wheels. Doing real well in Hell on Wheels, and he's doing great on this show. This enigmatic, what is he? Is he a henchman for the Army of the 12 Monkeys? So I don't know. He's done real well. I liked him. Something about the yellow teeth. I don't know if that's for real. Is this part of it really has yellow teeth, or is this part of the show? I'm not sure. He does real well. I liked him on he was good in Hell on Wheels. I'll make sure everybody knows that. Noonan, Hell on Wheels. Pallid Man on 12 Monkeys. Yeah, we did that. All right. What else? I don't know how's it going to end this up. How are we going to wrap this up? In the first season, they could go on and on with this thing. The only thing that power to keep sending Cole back is Cassie ever going to mess up her timeline? I'd say her timeline's already been screwed up as it is. They want to send, they want her, he and him to meet her in the past because she never would have saved his life in the future. So it's all this is messed up. They go too far in the past and he bumps into her and messes up her timeline. And thereby Cole is dead and everything else is over. Now what about the 100? I talked about the 100 already, according to Isabel. I thought Lexa and Clark made a good team. And Lexa even told Clark, Clark, I was wrong about you. You're about her being too emotional, being too soft. You have a strong heart. Pretty good. And let's see. What else? Lincoln and Bellamy. Lincoln's getting the shots again. They'd be turned back into a Reaper. So we'll see. And somebody said suicide by Earth. Lincoln say it's when Lincoln say he saw a ship fall from the sky. He is a man. Lincoln cared for a guy who was in this escape pod. And his father found out, and he made his son, Lincoln's dad, made him kill the man who was in the escape pod. So that's pretty cool scene there as well. The whole thing was excellent. What else? Downton Abbey, yes. Well, we'll bounce back and forth here between 12 Monkeys. Let's go back to 12 Monkeys. A couple of Cassandra Complex. Go to 2014. Oh, about Henri. Casey got with Henri and Heidi and all that stuff. She almost lost it. She went. She was saying, make this quarantine, cut this off. She goes, this is where the plague starts. It wipes out the world, the earth. Very much, she was saying. What else? And then goes in Heidi, Henri. Let's see. The guy that was in charge of the relief mission, he's a little doofus. It was a good scene. The whole episode was fantastic. Anyway, they bounce around to 2014, 2015, and they go 2043. It's a lot of jumping around they do. But I think it's an excellent way to keep the show moving along. The whole thing is excellent. So if you get a chance to watch a good series, you'll see. You see 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi. So what else? I thought it was an excellent series. Excellent. Yeah, it's only been three episodes in. So it's Helen saying on Twitter, it sounds like you're a big fan of 12. I love 12 Monkeys. Oh, for crying out loud. Ran the soundbite. Yeah, episode 3 soundbite. Yeah, we ran that. Excellent. Well, I have an audio here, too. It's about 2 minutes. Let's run this.
Hey, YouTube fans. I'm Noah Bean from 12 Monkeys, and here's an exclusive sneak peek of next week's episode only on Sci-Fi.
Found this on the perimeter.
What's up?
You find any tracks?
Just one. Scouts, probably. There are more we'd know by now. Either way, this is going to be a problem. I'm going to go up top, take a look.
There's nothing up here. What are they doing this far north?
They're animals.
The scab is probably just looking for something to eat, screw, or piss on. You boys would know best.
No. You tell me, Whitley. See, I hear that there's a certain type of man, and he loves to get pissed on.
Watch yourself, little man.
You like a little man?
We're going too.
He'd like it, right?
Oh, he'd love it, man.
Mr. Cole, we're sending you to Haiti.
You don't look too happy about that.
We found multiple references to solar flares in 2014.
Okay, so?
You'll probably experience some form of temporal and electromagnetic interference. What we don't know is how it might manifest.
You're trying to kill him.
Yes, we are. That's sarcasm, Mr. Ramsey.
Yeah, I know what that is. I'm gonna go.
One more thing. Dr. Rayleigh.
I know. If she sees me, it could change things.
Catastrophically. It would fracture her timeline. The following year, she might never go to the hotel and save your life from your gunshot wound. Do you understand that?
I got it. If we cross paths, it could kill me.
Excellent. Again, it was the third episode. That was last Friday on Sci-Fi. Excellent. 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 Here's the opening. So there you go. Excellent. 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 What else is going on? World TV. Oh, yes. The new TV Guide magazine came in. It's a double issue again, February 2nd through the 15th. On the cover is Tom Selleck from Blue Bloods. Also, Better Call Saul is getting ready to premiere on AMC, as well as the Walking Dead is returning as well. And excellent. I always get TV Guide magazine. Sometimes the subscription lapse. It's TV Guide magazine. What do you do? It's a legendary magazine. If you're in the TV business, pretty much you have to subscribe to TV Guide magazine. And also, I get the multi-channel magazine here, and viewer watch 2015. Cable viewers tuned out in 2014. 18 of the top 25 networks sustained primetime audience losses. Really? For most top cable networks, it was a year of missing viewers in prime time. Maybe a lost audience to original fare on Netflix or to other unmeasured programs on video on demand, tablets, or mobile platforms. Or maybe more viewers waited more than 7 days to watch record shows. Perhaps more viewers strayed to smaller networks. Notables, USA Network, Disney Channel, History Channel, and TBS all sustained double-digit erosion. So, Kevin actually having some struggles here. Let's see. Let's jump around. Spike TV. USA Network fell from its usual top perch, shedding 21% of its audience to 2.13 million viewers. For a sector-best 2.69 viewers. With its competitors losing more ground, TNT moved up from fifth to third in the networks, cable networks in 2014. So, something to be said. Maybe they give them shows they want to watch instead of this crap, cop shows, lawyer shows, and all this stuff. Let's see, what else? I saw something else to mention in this multi-channel. There we go. And changing use of media. Weekly media use among adults increased to 90.7 hours last year from 76.4 hours in 2004. But consumers are spending more time with digital media and less with TV. Share of time spent per week with media among adults, still 44% is TV, 23% is radio, 10% is the internet via the PC, 8% is newspapers and magazines, 7% is digital audio, 3% is reading books, 3% is also DVD and video, and 1% is console games, and 1% is mobile from 2004. Now, 2014, TV is 41%. We lost 3%, but 41% watch TV. Let's see, number two is mobile with 18%, up from 1% in 2004. Radio had 23% in 2004. 2014, 14%. Nine is internet via the PC, 9%, which actually dropped 1% from 2004 to 2014. Digital audio, 7% of the audience watched listened to digital audio. And in 2014, 6%. Newspapers and magazines, 5%, down 3% from 2004. Reading books is 4%, up 1% from 2004. And DVD and video, 1%, and down from 3% in 2004. It's kind of a zigzag, wasn't it? Interesting. What else? Let's see. I thought I saw something else I wanted to mention. I guess not. Anyway, let's put that over there then. Let's see. Anything else? What else am I watching here? Sean, have you covered the news about Jordan? Yes, I did. Covered it at the top of the program. Agent Carter is fantastic. Will be brought back. I think it will. They want more episodes. Done a great fill the gap in for main, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought the whole it's on right now in my house anyway. It's on right now. So any word about Ascension? No word on Ascension yet. So we'll see. Downton Abbey. Poor Lady Edith is all upset over her baby Marigold and Violet. Violet's so jealous of Isabel marrying that count. She can't stand herself, can she? She is jealous as can be over that. I think she's worried she'll lose her. Prominence. That Isabel is more of a prominent power in the area than she would be, or more stature, with a bigger title, basically. So that's why Violet's going out of her way to sabotage Lord Bertrand's relationship with Isabel. Will Isabel just finally turn around and tell her to stick up your ear, stick up your ass, lady? I'm marrying this. Yeah, it's her chance, second chance of love. She lost her son. She lost her husband. Let her find love with Lord Bertrand for crying out loud, and let her marry her. Lady Violet's being a bitch about the whole thing. How about the brawl with Robert and that art guy over Cora? You know, beat the hell, and then they stop as Edith knocks. And mama, everything okay? Oh, we just play a game. We drop the lamp. A little humor there about Robert. Robert's pissed. So he wouldn't even talk to Cora at that state dinner at the house. At the Abbey, he didn't even acknowledge her, basically. You see Mary looking over, she saw this tension. You see Violet looking over, like, oh, what the hell's going on between those two? You know, Robert's always been a pain in the ass. Poor Cora, you know, she's going to have to kiss his ass to get him back to love her again. He says staying in his drawing room and everything else. And Bates and all that are going back and forth over this investigation. So it's a pretty good episode, and I thought Sunday's episode of Downton Abbey on PBS. Mr. Morrow, he's trying to go through his treatment to get the gay out of him, I guess. So he doesn't get hurt or anything else. And then see Baxter caring for him. It's like, you know, you're all right. You look terrible. Even at the one dinner they had on the show, even Violet mentioned, you know, are you okay? You look terrible. Barrow said, and she looks over, she goes, Carson, are you overworking Mr. Barrow? And Barrow, she stood up for Carson. He's been treating me fine. The count, you know, the dowager. So We saw, who else we saw? Let's see. Mrs. Patmore and her investment money, she got left some money. And she, you know, hurt Carson's feelings about not taking his idea for investment. She told him she, you know, invested in a house and all that. So that was a pretty good scene as well. What else? Let's see. Oh, is what is? I don't think he's leaving the show. Supposedly, I heard somewhere that Branson's supposed to be moving to America with the baby Sybil. So that's going to be a little interesting what happened there. But that's what I heard what's going to happen. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens or not. That's what I heard is going to happen. Downton Abbey. What else do I watch? Let's see here. Helix. Helix is pretty good as well. More and more, you know, just what's poisoning these people, everything else. I'm getting more used to the time jump. We saw Hakamura back on the show on Friday as well. He's having these horrible visions. He's just out to lunch, basically. I was surprised to see him. For some reason, I didn't think we were going to see him again because, I thought, well, he was in the first season on the Arctic season. I think we see him in this season at all. And Lollipoly shows up in the season. Let me see. What else? Nakamura. He's Nakamura on Extant. He's a Hataki on this show. He was on Haruku Sonata. He was also on Extant the first season as well. So and Sarah Jones, like she's. Her pregnancy is coming back to life. She's always going to be pregnant, apparently, since she lives forever. Her baby's going to be pregnant forever. That's all I got of it, so we'll see. She told Alan she's pregnant, still is pregnant, been pregnant for a year now. So what in the world is that going to be about? I don't know. Let's see. What else? Oh, we saw the dead bodies in the dinner. Hataki had this dinner with Julia. And they had the body of the son that was killed in the season finale of the first season, and Julia's mom there too. The corpses are sitting there. It is amazing they could do this on network TV, on cable TV, let alone network TV. The whole episode I thought was pretty good as well. And the kids beat the hell out of what was his name on the show too. Like they played the Partridge Family, no, the Brady Bunch theme, and the kids all turn around, beat the hell out of Kyle Summer. So a fantastic episode of Helix. So I'm liking 12 Monkeys more though, in my opinion only, of course. What else? Let's go through more news. Any more news? We run out of time. I got 6 minutes left. Let's see. And let me see, anything else? So, we're all talking about the Jordan executes two prisoners of the ISIS killing of the pilot. Yes, I already covered that. Let's see. And also, I'm getting sick of these movies, all these movies being turned into a series. NBC greenlights a pilot for Problem Child TV series adaptation. What in the world? Enough of this. Rush Hour is going to be a pilot for Rush Hour. Limitless, Luther. Well, Luther, okay, is already a series in BBC America. But Problem Child, that was with, what the hell's his name, from Home Alone. Now they're going to make a series out of that. So we'll see, according to Screen Rant, anyway. They want to make a pilot for Problem Child, making it into a series. Where is the originality in Hollywood? How about SNL? Going to bring almost every living cast member back to the show. For its 3-hour extravaganza for celebrating its 40th anniversary. That's pretty cool. What else? Lewis and Clark miniseries, yes. I thought it's a good idea from HBO. It's going to be fantastic. Only network can do a miniseries like this with the majesty of the mission of Lewis and Clark is HBO. Variety reports this Lewis and Clark miniseries from Edward Norton, Brad Pitt, and Tom Hanks. According to Elizabeth Wagmeister, HBO is greenlit the miniseries Lewis and Clark from executive producers Edward Norton, Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks, and yada, yada, yada. Casey Affleck and Matthias Schoenaerts will star as Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, respectively. Should be pretty good, Lewis and Clark. Should be outstanding, I think. So the only one I could do is a miniseries like this is HBO, I think. Let's see, what else? CBS, yeah, I saw that. Let's see. Bryan Cranston's production company is going to produce a show, a pilot anyway, for CBS. According to The Wrap, Sneaky Pete, con man drama Sneaky Pete, finds Breaking Bad star pairing with house boss David Shore. Let's see. Let's go on. Skipping down. Sneaky Pete, meanwhile, features Bryan Cranston as a co-writer on the story and as an executive producer with house honcho David Shore writing and executive producing. The pilot from Sony did Breaking Bad and Here Comes Saul, or Better Call Saul. The pilot focuses on a 30-something con man who, upon leaving prison, takes cover from his past by assuming the identity of a cellmate. Sneaky Pete then hides out from his debtors while working for his new family's bail bond business. Oh, we'll see about that one. So you're coming out of jail. You're assuming the identity of your cellmate. Isn't your cellmate's reputation as in bad shape as yours? Because you're in a cell together in prison. Oh well. CBS ordered a second medical drama pilot called LFE. Let's see. LFE by Elizabeth Wagmeister. LFE comes from CBS Television Studios and executive producer Dan Jinks from Emily Owens MD, yada, yada, yada. The drama describes a high-octane medical procedural following second-year residents at the top hospital in New York City as they attempt to balance their God complexes with their humanity. CBS Entertainment Chair Nina Tassler has expressed her interest in bringing a medical drama to the Eyes slate, which has had a successful series in the genre in many seasons. Yes, last one was Three Rivers. I think they should give that more of a shot at it, move to a different night. But what else? Well, I think we're done here. Yes. I already talked about Katie Holmes last year today. She's going to be in Ray Donovan season 3. Yes, I already read that. I already mentioned that. Yes. Well, what about... I'm going to move down here. Let's see. Yes, according to The Wrap, Sony TV buys Jamie Tarsus's produced apocalyptic drama called 10. Sony Pictures has acquired a new apocalyptic drama from veteran TV producer Jamie Tarsus, The Wrap has learned. 10 centers around 10 people who are brought back from the dead as part of an elaborate human trial, but their second chance at life soon spirals out of control with the fate of mankind suddenly resting in their recently resurrected hands. We'll see about that one. I like apocalyptic series, so we'll see what that one does. Downton Abbey recap, I already did that. Sorry, I'm going through me. Oh, TNT's Titan series. Every comic book that's ever made is coming to TV, I swear. According to Blaster, rumor of the day, this is from February 2nd, superhero roster for TNT's new Teen Titan series is revealed. Actually, it'll be just called the Titans. Let's see. According to Trent Moore at Blaster, which is part of Sci-Fi, the ensemble is led by Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin Nightwing. The show apparently picks up with Dick leaving Batman's shadow to strike out on his own as a detective in Boston, which throws some nods to Chuck Dixon's solid Nightwing solo comic from the 90s. It was in Bloodhaven, wasn't it? Along with Grayson, this Teen Titans is throwing in a nice twist to give the show even more of a Gotham connection. Barbara Gordon, aka former Batgirl, will pick up with Barbara after she's been injured and is using a wheelchair, becomes Oracle. Hawk and Dove are going to be in this series as well as Raven and Starfire. So we'll see about that one, according to Blaster, anyway. Let's see. Shonda Rhimes, yes. she's going to get yet another series from ABC. According to the Wrap, ABC orders drama pilots from Shonda Rhimes and Gossip Girl duo. Scandal Boss will produce offering about a female forensic accountant who exposes fraud. Shonda Rhimes has landed yet another project with ABC. The Catch is being executive produced by Rhimes Shondaland Shingle. Centers on a gutsy female forensic accountant who exposes fraud for a living and has finally found fulfillment both at work and in love until a case comes along that threatens to turn her world upside down. I don't know. And the Gossip Girl alum series from Stacey Savage and Josh Schwartz called Broad Squad. Inspired by true stories, the pilot follows the first four women to graduate from Boston's Police Academy in 1978. Maybe. I'm not sure about that one. That's ABC picked up those two pilots. Who's going to be in Corden? They haven't announced any cast members for Corden yet. We can have maybe some nods towards Under the Dome, maybe some nods towards Jericho. That would be nice. But anyway, well, we're about out of time, and we are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Join us again next time for Sean Daly on TV. Thank you all for watching. Have a great night. Happy viewing and a very pleasant tomorrow. Very pleasant tomorrow. Fleeing the reality celebrity competition lawyer buddy TV series genres, the last hope for TV humanity, the Television Man, is on a lonely quest for high concept and dramatic TV series wherever they may be.